We want to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 3. I'd like to see this verse. It says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. A pastor's responsibility is to feed the flock which God hath made him an overseer. But you can see there, it's not God's will that a pastor be a lord over God's heritage. In other words, not be a dictator and force people to do, you know, what he thinks they should do. That is a biblical principle. Everybody see that? Amen? All right, now look at your text, all right? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And Paul's writing to the church here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And he's writing to the church, and they were a little frustrated at him because he wanted to go and see them. And he put in the first letter he was going to do his best to come and see them, but God didn't allow it. And through circumstances and persecutions, he wasn't able to visit them like he thought he was going to. And so the people were kind of frustrated, said, you know, well, can we even trust you? It amazes me how quickly we can forget, you know, people are good to us, and, you know, one moment of destruction, and, you know, we think, you know, well, that person don't really care. It isn't that way, amen? But they did, and it's same old story, continues. But he said, I wanted to come, but then he gives some thoughts here that I really caught my attention this week as I was studying, and the Lord led me to preach on it this morning. And start reading with me in verse number 20. It says, for all the promises, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. And what Paul said basically is, I had good intentions and I was going to come, but it just didn't work out. But that doesn't mean you need to doubt anything that God has said, because God is always true. Amen. Verse 21, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. And what he's basically saying, it's a good thing I didn't come, because had I been there, we have some issues I got to address. And so it's probably best I'm not there. All right? But in any case, just wanted to give you an idea. But verse 24 is the one I'm going to preach on. It says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. That verse number 24 this week was a huge blessing to my life, and I want to share it this morning. It says there, not in that we have dominion over your faith. Again, in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 3, a pastor, and any pastor you have in your life, is not to be a lord over God's heritage. They don't have dominion over your faith, but rather a helper of your joy. I want to talk to you this morning real quick about my role as being a helper of your joy. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the scripture. Thank you for how you encouraged me through it this week. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, you just please bless, Lord, now the reading and the preaching of your word. And, Lord, help us to learn this very important principle that's found in your word. And, Lord, we love you so much. And in Christ's name I pray, amen. I want to give you just a few thoughts here. Sometimes you have discouraging weeks, and that will happen. There was always things going on, but you know, and there's been things that have happened in the past at church that, you know, my first response was, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to put everybody and make them all right, right? But that's something I had to learn very quick in my ministry, is I can't save anybody. I can't change anybody. I can't heal anybody. I can't change a heart. I can't do any of that. I have not, as and no pastor is, to be a lord over God's heritage or to have dominion over your faith. Now, I'm not, you know, diminishing what other scriptures say, that you should respect the office of a pastor and you should, you know, follow their ensample. And as Hebrews 13 says, obey them which have the rule over you. In other words, because they, again, what is the reason to obey them? Because they're going to give an account for your soul. And so the reason is this: they're only doing what, you know, in pointing and preaching in the way that is going to benefit you. And so, but again, this idea that really was an issue years ago, not here to my knowledge, but you know, this mega church, and I'm talking about independent Baptist, and people almost building empires for themselves, and the man of God becoming like some, you know, I am emperor of Goshen, right? And that is just so, matter of fact, that's a false doctrine taught in the Bible. It's called the Nicolaitan, right? It's just the idea that I am a ruler and you will follow me or else. It's not taught in the Scriptures. But here in this passage of Scripture, again, it says not that we have dominion over your faith. So I'm not diminishing the fact that we should follow our pastors and we should, you know, as long as they're in the book, obey and follow the directions and the leading of the Lord. But as a pastor, the other side of that same coin is this, that every pastor needs to know that they're not a lords over God's heritage and they don't have dominion over your faith. In other words, I'm not in charge of the faith of Brother Joshua. I cannot make Brother Webster do anything spiritually. I'm not a lord over him or have dominion over his faith. That is not a biblical role. And we all understand that. I have a 3-point outline. None of it's alliterated, so you know. This is different for me, all right? But number one, I wrote down this, and I just want you to learn these 3 principles this morning. It's what God laid on my heart. For whatever reason, I hope it encourages you. Number one, understand this from this passage of Scripture. You are responsible for your faith and your choices. You are responsible. I am not, and no pastor is to be, someone who has dominion over someone else's faith. And so I will never give an account for what you do. I will give an account for how I teach and the direction I point you to, because I'm to watch for your souls, to feed and lead and to heed and all those things we talk about. But understand this as individuals sitting in this auditorium, that you are responsible for your choices and your faith. You will never be able to point a finger at anyone else and say, but God, they. It's your choice. But Lord, it's your choice. Your decisions and your faith, they're yours. And you will give an account for them one day. I will give an account for Travis Burke's faith. I will give an account for the choices that I make in my life. For me. Now, I am in a little bit different position than anyone else in this auditorium. I will also give an account for how I teach you. But I will not give in any way an account for the choices that James Wilder makes in his life. Those choices may encourage me or discourage me. He's only been an encouragement thus far in our relationship. But the fact is this, in the end, I'm not responsible for those choices. You are responsible for your choices. I don't make your decisions. I do not control your actions. I'm not in charge of the life you live and the faith that you have. You are. I'm preaching that today because I think a lot of people sit in church and they don't want to take that responsibility. For their choices that are bad, they always want to point at other people and blame them. I hate what some people have gone through, and the fact is this, I always teach this, and when I teach young preachers or I'm teaching at a college or something and training people for the ministry, I always tell them, and you've heard me say this statement right here, everybody has a story. You don't know what people have been through. And usually where they find themselves right now in life has been greatly impacted by their story. Some are filled with tragedies, sorrows. Some are filled with blessing after blessing. But everybody has a story. But despite the story, you're still responsible for your choices and your faith. I don't care what the path has been that you have traveled. You are still responsible for your faith and your choices. No one will ever reject Jesus on this earth and find an exception when you get to heaven by pointing and saying, yeah, but do you know what they did, what they said? It's your faith. It's your choice. And the fact is this, that no matter what your story has been, God is greater. He will rewrite your story. He can change it. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? He'll change your story. Praise the Lord for that. But your faith. You see, I had to learn this as, you know, when I first started, you know, I'd always worked with kids and youth, and you have a lot more sway there. You know, half the kids I taught, if they didn't do what I said, I gave them demerits. Right? I mean, it's just what I did. Then I became pastor, and I realized I can't give you a demerit. I can't threaten you with, I'm going to call your parents, right? Half of you would be like, so? Right? All of you would be so. And at first, you know, I would take it very personal. You know, I'd lay something out, as we talked about on Thursday night, and let us reason this, and we present it with the Word of God, and think, made it clear, and others would be like, nah. Show you from the Word of God that you ought to be at church on Sunday nights? Amen. Amen. And then be like, nah. Show you from the Word of God that you shouldn't go, you know, be involved in certain activities and things like that? Nah. And I'd sit there and be like, oh, right? You know, you see, we all have a carnal side. All right, yeah. I get upset. Why won't they? It's right there. And God had to teach me a very important lesson. I was just a little story. I was reading in my devotions one day there in the Gospels, and I read where Jesus said, "What thou doest, do quickly." And Judas got up and walked out and left. Remember that story?
Right.
And the Lord just hit me. I was in a very frustrated time early pastoring, and the Lord just is just clear as it. Again, God doesn't speak in audible voices, but God spoke to me that day. You understand that, I hope. The greatest pastor that's ever walked upon the face of the earth had one that said no.
Right.
I'm surprised any with me, right? But the Lord, because even that, the Lord didn't and would not take dominion over his faith. Judas's choice was his choice. Your faith is your choice. Your decisions in life are your decisions. As a pastor, my job is just to keep feeding and presenting truth and loving as Christ will love. Your responsibility and your obligation is to make a choice. Choose ye this day who you will serve. If you leave today saved, it's because there's a time in your life when you chose to be saved. If you leave today lost, it's because you have chosen to reject the Lord. His gift of salvation is for everyone. It's your choice. If you have a sin in your life, and I don't have to mention any sins, because if you're saved today, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your thoughts, even when I say, if you have a sin in your life, Holy Spirit does His job. And He speaks to you today and says, yes, this needs to be addressed in your life. If you leave today, still under the power of that sin, that is your choice. Because we presented just recently that we can have victory through Christ. God's Word promises. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? Our what? Faith. Faith is the victory. Amen. Good song. It's your choice. It's your faith. I present to you a second thought out of this passage, and look at again in verse number 24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. My first thought I wrote down is you are responsible for your faith and choices. Number two, I, now talking as Travis Burke as pastor, I am a helper of your joy. That's my biblical role there. Isn't that awesome? How can you be mad at me? I am God's gift to you to make you happy. Isn't that awesome? I mean, how can you not love me, right? I am to be a helper of your joy. I am to be someone. That's what Paul said. Don't you love this verse? As a pastor, I love this verse this week, right? I've read it how many times, but this week is like, wow, right? You know what it does? It lets you as a pastor enjoy what you're doing. I love Brother Jordan. He just had a birthday this week. Happy birthday, Brother Jordan. Can't believe he's so old. Because however old he is, I know I'm that much older. It's like, oh, right? My wife taught him in fifth grade. Wow. We are ancient, man. All right, yeah. There's Brother Jordan. I love him to death. I've invested a lot in him. Personally. And it would break my heart if he were to walk away from his faith. But everybody look at me. But I would have to go on and keep doing what I... Because he will give an account for his faith and his choices. I'm here to be a helper of your joy. Why is that so important? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10 ends with this great phrase. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know what happens when we have joy in our life? Makes us strong. Amen? It makes us, you know, the joy of the Lord. Have you all sang that kid song? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Anybody ever sang that before? How's it going? He fills my heart with laughter. Yeah, yeah, don't you love that song, right? Ha, 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 ha. You never sang that, right? We may sing that tonight in church, right? Yes, right? But the joy of the Lord is my strength. What is church for? God has given us pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. What is the perfecting of the saints? It is to make you a mature, strong believer. Right. This is why we have church, to build us up in our faith and to get spiritually buff. There you go. Just waking you up a little bit, all right? Yes! Nicholas is, like, Brother Rob was flexing out there in the auditorium, or foyer this morning, right? Yeah, right? I, you know, I picked up Tater this morning. He's over at Virginia Church, isn't he? He's not in here. Yeah, I picked up Tater this morning. He was walking out. He just closed the door. I was like, how you doing? He's like, "Arr." I was like, whoa. He said, I'm getting ready for basketball. I was like, that's awesome, man. You know, had to fill his bicep. It was cool, right? He's getting buff. You know, but we come to church to get strong in the faith. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here just to make you happy. Happiness is determined on what's happening. That's why happiness is not really pushed in the Bible. Because if your life is about being happy, there are times that we mourn. There are times that we grieve. There are times that it just isn't a happy time. But the joy of the Lord will get you through any time. And our responsibility as a pastor is to help you in your joy. I am, as the pastor says, a helper of your joy. I am to help you to have the joy that is found in the Christian life. I am here to help you to know the joy of knowing that you're saved. I am here to help you with the joy of having a godly home. I am here to help you with the joy of understanding a unified church. I am here to help you with the joy to know that your children walk in truth. All those things are found in the Word of God, and it is found, and it's not, I don't have dominion. I have no lord over any of that. That is your choice. But I have been given and the opportunity and the privilege to help you in your joy. What that means is this, when we come to church and anyone and the pastor gets up, we ought to be all ears because we understand he's here to help me in my joy. He's here in a gift from God to help me with my joy. And I thought about that. What kind of joys are found in the Bible? Man, there's a bunch of them. And I don't have time to preach to them all, but I want you to consider these. I'm going to give you the references. I encourage you to write these down, all right? But in Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 13, it is one of the joys that a pastor will help develop in your life, is the joy that is found when you stand before God one day and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, what joy that will be. I want to live my life so that I may hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You should want to live your life to hear, "Well done." You know, we've lost some dear loved ones in the last couple of years. And I'm thankful that for every one of those that we've lost, their life that they lived and the service and the dedication that they showed with their life and just wanting to please the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there has been no doubt in my mind that those loved ones, when they entered heaven, there was a God that stood there and said, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know why Travis Burke is standing in front of you today? Because there's a God in heaven that just wants me to help you with your joy. To give you the Word of God and to present to you ways that you can build up your faith so that you can make the right choices to hear Him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Helper of your joy in the fact of this, that you can learn to live joyfully. Live joyfully. There in the book of Matthew, I believe it's chapter 28 and verse number 8, when they left the sepulcher, they left with great joy. To know that our Savior is alive. You know why we meet on Sundays? It's the Lord's Day. You know why it's the Lord's Day? Because it's the day He arose from the grave. And we are looking back every Sunday to know that this, we serve a risen Savior. Amen? And our God is alive. Amen? Death could not hold Him. The cross could not kill Him. Our Lord is alive and well and seated at the right hand. And one day He's coming back. We serve a risen Savior. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And that ought to fill your heart with joy. And we come to church to be reminded our God's alive. We serve with joy. In John chapter number 15, the joy, the Bible says, let me read that verse to you. In John chapter 15, verse number 10. John 15, you can put it up there if you like to, Brother Susan. John 15, verse number 10 and 11. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my," what? "Joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be," what? You know, God wants you to have His joy. But it's found, look at the Scripture, it's found by obeying the commandments of God. "If you keep my commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things, these commandments, have I spoken unto you that your joy might, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." You know another reason to come to church? So we can learn what this book says. Because the more we learn what this book says, the more we can make the right choices. And the more we make the right choices to obey what this book says, the more of His joy is in your life. I do not have dominion over your faith. But I can help you and show you what the Word of God says
so that you can make the right decisions. And the more you choose to follow and obey the Lord, the more of His joy. Isn't that great? I'm glad you don't have my joy. My joy fluctuates a lot in my flesh. But we can have His joy in us by following His word.
So we don't sit back in church. It just changes everything if you get it. You know, the preacher's preaching on a sin. And that's a sin in your life. And you're sitting back saying, oh, that preacher hates me. He's always picking on me. He's just doing this to get at me. He's only preaching on this because he knows somehow, he was behind me in the store. He had someone told on me. Who was it, right?
And we get these mentalities in our life, and we think that, you know, anytime the preacher preaches on something that's in our life, he becomes our enemy. He's not your enemy.
Amen.
Matter of fact, any preacher worth their salt is going to love you no matter what decision you make. Just as God loves you no matter what decision you make. Now, there are repercussions for decisions we make. But it doesn't change love. It doesn't change the fact that we want to try to, you know, keep presenting the truth so that we can make the right decisions. But the pastor's not your enemy. God's not your enemy. All the pastor and all the Word of God's trying to do is show you how you can have joy. His joy. I could go on. There's so many of these. I wrote down this, that the joy of having a Spirit-controlled life in Galatians 5:22. Be filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and then what? Joy. There it is. Love and joy. Because the two go together. The two go together. I mean, first time my wife looked at me and said that she loved me, oh, there was joy. I couldn't stop smiling. Went home smiling. Walked in the house. Parents are just like, what's wrong with you? Why? What happened? She told me she loved me. I went and woke up. Crystal shook her and said, wake up. She's like, what? Stacy told me she loved me tonight. She's like, so? Right? Yeah, she didn't care less. But I had joy. I had joy. It's a great thing. And when the Spirit of God is in control of your life, there will be love and joy, along with these other fruits that are there. But it comes from living a Spirit-controlled life. You know why we get up and we preach over and over all these different things? Because I want to be a helper of your joy. I want you to see how to live a Spirit-controlled life so that you can have His joy. To understand what 1 Peter 1, verse number 18 is talking about, having a joy unspeakable. A joy that's hard to describe as we look forward to seeing Christ. To understand in 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse number 13, the joy you can have even while going through times of suffering. The Bible teaches that. Can you put that verse up there, Brother Susan? 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that with His glory shall, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be also glad also with exceeding joy. God wants us to learn how to suffer with His joy. You understand that life sometimes just doesn't work out because we live in a sin-cursed world. That doesn't mean we can not still have the joy of the Lord in our life. The joy that is talked about in 2 John in verse number 12, the joy that God would have us to have full daily in our lives. A full joy every day in our life. In Jude in verse number 24, the joy that we can experience when one day we stand before Him. Let me read that verse to you real quick. In Jude verse 24, it says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I could go on. We could talk about we learn here at church, and we have soul winning on Wednesday nights. We have visitation on Saturdays. Why? Because no one has nothing to do. You're all sitting at home bored. No, not at all, right? We all live very busy lives. Why do we keep putting tracts out there and encourage people to you know, pass out? We're trying to pass out 10,000 tracts this year. So why are we doing that? Because the pastor's a slave driver. Because the pastor wants money. I don't know how that works, but that's what half the people think, right? Somehow it's connected to money. I don't know how, but it's connected to money, right? No. You know why we have visitation, why we're passing out tracts? Because those people that learn and build relationships and get saved, and if you have a part in that, God says in Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19, what is my joy? Is it not you in the presence of God? You know why we're doing these things? Because I want you to have joy. That when you get to heaven, there'll be somebody that walks up to you that maybe you had never even remembered here on this earth that says, one day outside in the freezing cold on opening day at the Reds, you handed me a tract. God used that to speak to my heart. And the joy you experience. Knock on some door on Saturday. Tell some little kid to ride the bus, and they ride the bus, and they get saved over there in junior church. The joy that you will have in heaven. That's why we do these things. We're helpers of your joy. I don't want you to be like me. You don't want to be like me. I don't control your faith. I don't want you to become a Kazadelite. Nor do I want you to be Burkish. I just want you to know and experience and enjoy the joy that God has for you. So we'll keep on preaching and keep on teaching and keep on having ministries and opportunities to be a helper of your joy. Your faith and your choices, they're yours. I'm a helper of your joy. But the last thing I want you to see back in our text, I turned away from there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. Look what it says. For by faith ye stand. The third thing I wrote down here with this is this. Your faith determines your future. For by faith you stand. Down the road, you're either going to be standing for God, or God forbid, you'll stray away. That is determined by your faith. Not me. Not your Sunday school teacher. I'm not belittling our roles. We have an obligation to teach and be a helper of your joy and to present these things. But your faith determines your future. If you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I will do my best to continue preaching the death, burial, and resurrection and the fact that we can go to heaven because Jesus died for us. He paid for our sins on the cross. The wages of sin is death, and praise the Lord, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. He paid for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. He showed He has dominion over sin and death and the fact that the grave could not hold Him, and He rose again. He lives for us today, and He offers to us God's gift of salvation, eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you today will choose to receive Jesus Christ by believing that He did die for my sins and that I'm a sinner, but Jesus paid it all and He arose again and I am putting my soul in His hand, friends, you can be saved today. But that's your faith. I wish I could do it for you, because I would. But that's your faith. With my three children, some of the three happiest days of my life are the 3 days that my children put their faith in the Lord. In the service on a Sunday night, I was praying right here and I felt a tug on my pant leg and turned around. Alex was there and he said, Dad, I want to get saved. Praise the Lord. I couldn't get saved for him and I couldn't save him. At home, my wife had been teaching and my daughter Grace decided to choose to put her faith in the Lord. Oh, she called me and told me I was here, me and Alex. I brought Alex in because Alex, some of you remember on Saturday nights when we had prayer meeting, Alex would always request for Grace to get saved. And that day when Grace got saved, I brought Alex out of class and told him, and he cried. God answered prayer. The happiest days of life. But it's your choice. I wish I could get saved for them, but I can't. It's their choice. It's your choice. I wish I could make you all serve God, because it's awesome to serve the Lord. But that's your choice. I wish I could make all of you stand up for truth, but I can't. That's your choice. My job is to present it and to preach the truth of it. But your faith will determine your future. You won't ever be able to blame a parent, a youth pastor, a pastor, a sibling. It's your faith. And I'm thankful for the great privilege to be a helper of your joy.